The World Tomorrow. Herbert W. Armstrong brings you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
Again, I say, the unthinkable nuclear world war is coming, and sooner than most people expect. Now, only in Bible prophecies can we absolutely know what is coming. And Bible prophecy says it is coming, a war that could erase all human life, every man, woman, and child on this earth, but it will not. Humanity won't end this way. But Bible prophecy shows what is going to happen. God Almighty is real. God is not real to most people, but God is real, and he says definitely it is coming. Whole cities are going to be destroyed, but God will cut that time short, and humanity will be saved alive. Now, the public media assumes that our one nuclear enemy and that the nuclear war will come from Russia. They are wrong. It's only in Bible prophecies, I say, that we can know what is going to happen. And Bible prophecies do not mention a war between Russia and the United States, believe it or not. Russia is mentioned in the Bible prophecy. The United States, believe it or not, is mentioned in the Bible prophecy. And you need to know where it is mentioned, and most of you don't know, you have never seen it, isn't mentioned by name. I have another booklet that I would like to send you, and there's no charge, no request for money. The United States and Britain in prophecy. Where are these nations mentioned in the prophecies of the Bible? I'll mention that again at the close of the program. You need to have a copy. The Bible prophecies show that we are now in the very last days of this civilization. Humanity won't end, but society as we know it on this earth and civilization as we know it will end. Bible prophecies regarding the imminent nuclear war begin actually in the second chapter of the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. Daniel, the second chapter. Let me read you something beginning with verse 27. Daniel, the second chapter. Where Daniel came before the king Nebuchadnezzar, who was the emperor of the first empire, the first world empire that this world had ever known. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, that maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days." This king Nebuchadnezzar had had a dream. It amazed him. It shocked him. It was an astounding dream. He demanded that his fortune tellers and astrologers would tell him the dream and what it meant. Of course, they couldn't tell. Daniel said that there is a God in heaven that would reveal it to him, and God did reveal it to Daniel. And Daniel said, "The dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed were this." And then Daniel explained to him that he had seen a very stupendous image, a great statue. It must have been, well, what we would call maybe 25 or 30 feet high. It was very, very great, much greater than a human man. Its head was of fine gold. Its breast was of silver. Its belly and thighs were of brass. Its legs were of iron. Its feet were part of iron and part of miry clay. And Daniel told the king Nebuchadnezzar what the dream meant. He said to the king, "You, king, are the head of gold. It represents you, your Chaldean empire. And after you shall arise another king, after you, inferior to you, and yet stronger militarily. As silver is less valuable than gold, it would be less valuable spiritually, but it would be superior in military strength." That was the Persian Empire. And then a third empire that was also going to be very strong and would be still stronger but less valuable. And then finally a fourth empire, the legs of iron, stronger than all, as iron is stronger than brass, but of less value. is less value morally and spiritually and ethically and every way of that sort. And then the feet were part of iron and part of miry clay. Now, he watched it until he saw, and there's a time sequence. It started with him 600 years before Christ. It carries on down through the Roman Empire and into the latter days, because Daniel said the dream was to tell him what would happen in these latter days, and he really meant the time that we're living in now, in the last half of the 20th century A.D. And a stone, supernaturally, would strike this image on its toes and feet. And would blast the whole image. Now, let me give you the final of it in verse 44. And in the days of these kings, finally ending up with the Roman Empire that is to be revised in Europe, as I will show you later, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all of these kingdoms, that is, the kingdoms, the empires, the governments. And it finally comes down to a resurrection of the ancient Holy Roman Empire, the medieval Holy Roman Empire, that is, the Middle Ages, that is now in process of being reorganized, a sort of United States of Europe. And they've been wanting to organize it for a long, long time. And it is going to come. And then the kingdom of God is going to take it over, consume all of these kingdoms, these governments, and it is going to last forever. Now, Daniel explained this further in the 7th chapter of Daniel, where he saw a vision of his own 4 wild animals. Now, these 4 wild animals are only symbols. But let me read you a little of it in the first verse of the 7th chapter of Daniel. Daniel had visions of his head upon his bed, and he saw 4 great beasts come out of the water of the ocean on the seashore. Now, the first was like a lion. I won't take time to read it in the Bible. It takes too long, and we just don't have that kind of time on this program. But the second was like a bear. The third was like a leopard. But it was a very unusual leopard. It had 4 heads, not just 1 head. Now, so far, that makes 6 heads. And the fourth was not like any of these, but it had the characteristics of all of them. And it represented the same thing. In other words, the lion was the same as the golden head on the 2nd chapter of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And the breast and arms of silver on the statue or on the great image were the same as the 2nd wild animal, or the bear, which would be the next empire after Nebuchadnezzar, which was actually the Persian Empire, as we know from history. And then the third was like a leopard. The third wild animal that Daniel saw in the 7th chapter was like a leopard. And that corresponded to the belly and thighs of brass. But it had 4 heads. Now, the Greco-Macedonian Empire, which succeeded and overthrew the Persian Empire, did divide into 4 different kingdoms. And there were the 4 heads of it. Alexander the Great died at an early age, and his 4 generals each divided up the empire. And so it had the 4 divisions representing those 4 heads on that third beast. And the fourth beast then was different than all of the beasts, but great iron teeth. And now I want to read you just a little of what is said about this wild animal in Daniel 7, verse 23. Daniel 7, verse 23. Then he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, and it shall be diverse or different from all kingdoms, and it shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break in pieces. And then there were 10 horns out of that kingdom, and they will be 10 kings or kingdoms that will arise out of the old Roman Empire, and they didn't carry down to our time today. Now, there is one other verse here I want you to read, verse 27. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. The him means Christ. Now, the stone that was going to smite the image on its toes and feet is the second coming of Christ. And the saints are the church that will be made immortal at the time of the second coming of Christ, and that will rule under him. And it is talking here about the literal governments, the literal nations and kingdoms of this earth. And Christ is coming to set up the kingdom of God, a new kingdom altogether. And it is going to replace the governments of this world. It's going to replace the present society, the present civilization. And it's time that we know what is going to happen. Now, this same thing again is pictured again. We come over to the 13th chapter of Revelation, where the Apostle John saw one great beast rising up out of the sea. Now, it had the head of a lion, but it had the feet of a bear, and it had the body of a leopard. But it had seven heads altogether. And you find seven heads in Daniel's four beasts, because his third beast had four heads, and altogether there were seven heads. And there were the ten crowns, and the ten crowns were on the last beast, or out of the Roman Empire. Then we come to the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation, and we see a latter end of the same thing coming down to our time today. Now, I want to read to you a little out of the 17th chapter. The last remnant of the great Gentile government chain, this chain of Gentile governments, they all rose up after ancient Israel had gone captive. It was the Chaldean Empire of Babylon that took the Jews captive. The house of Israel had been taken captive over 100 years before that. But finally, Judah, or the Jews, had been taken captive along between 604 and 585 B.C. And after that time, the Chaldean Empire rose up. The last remnant of the great Gentile government chain came after Israel had been taken captive. Now, the Bible essentially is a book of Israel and about Israel and concerns other nations who become in contact with Israel. We should know that. In the 17th chapter of Revelation, I want to read verse 3 to you. Verse 3. So, here's John's vision that he saw in a vision. The angel carried me away in the spirit, or in a vision, into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Here again, the seven heads and the ten horns, but here is a woman sitting on it, and the woman is described as the false religions that have arisen since the gospel of Jesus Christ was sabotaged. And since the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, was suppressed, and I've mentioned that many times on this program, it's all described in verse 5 as a woman. On her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, or confusion in religion. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. She was drunken with the blood of the saints. And yet the saints finally are going to take and possess the kingdom over all of this. Now, these false religions are described in verses 12 to 14. The ten horns out of this beast, and that is ten that are arising now in Europe, the 17th chapter of Revelation, and the ten horns which thou sowest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet in this time, and that is true in our time right now, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, so give their power and strength unto the beast, which is the system of governments, as it will finally be in the revised so-called Holy Roman Empire in Europe, "Thee shall make war against the Lamb," which is Christ at his second coming. "They shall make war against the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is," now at this time, "is King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So, it comes right down to the time of the second coming of Christ. They will make war against Christ at his second coming. Now, they are religions that have deceived the world. Now, how have they deceived the world? They have been preaching that Jesus is the Christ, but yet they have deceived the many, as I've read to you in the 24th chapter of Matthew, many, many times. Let's just turn to that again, Matthew 24. Jesus' disciples had asked him what was going to come in their time. And they said to him, "Tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world, of this present society, this present world." That is in verse 3 of the 24th chapter of Matthew. "And Jesus answered and said to them," his disciples, "Take heed that no man deceive you," deceive them in that time. "For many shall come in my name, saying that I am Christ." Many would come in Jesus' name, saying that he, Jesus, is the Christ. Preaching Christ to the world, preaching Christ to the nations, and yet deceiving the many. How could that be? How can you preach Christ? How can people receive Christ and be deceived? Well, I've read this to you many a time before, and let me read it once more in Mark the 7th chapter, where Jesus himself said, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me," actually not only accepting Christ as Savior, but worshiping him, "worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, for making the commandment of God of none effect. You hold the tradition of men in traditional Christianity. You hold the tradition of men, making the law of God of no effect, saying God's law is done away. God's law is the foundation of his government. The foundation of every government is a law or a constitution. And a law is a way of living. A law is a way that regulates the way you live. Every government has laws. And God has laws that are spiritual laws, and it's a spiritual way of life. It's God's way of life. It's the way that God has lived, and that Christ has lived, and the way they have lived together from eternity, because they are immortal and have always lived. It's the way of cooperation. It is the way of love. All that is wrong in the world today, all that is causing the heartaches, all that is causing these wars, is the way people are living today. They're not living according to God's way of life, according to the law of God, the spiritual way of life. And yet the religionists today are teaching you in traditional Christianity that that law is done away. Jesus said, "Think not that I come to destroy the law. He said, I have kept my Father's commandments." And he said he'd set us an example that we should do the same thing. Now he said unto them, "Full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition." And they did. Now, what was the gospel of Jesus Christ? What was the gospel that he preached? In Mark 1 and verse 1, you read the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In verses 14 and 15, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's the government of God that is going to take over all the governments of this world. It's talking about government. And Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand." And it was 1950 years ago. And he said, "Repent ye." That is, admit how wrong you've been, how wrong you've been living. You're not living according to God's way of life, according to God's law, his spiritual way of life, the way of love, of outflowing love to other people, and above all, love to God. And believe the gospel. Repentance and faith, the twin conditions for receiving God's Spirit and immortal life. Now, about Christ, you read back in Isaiah 9 and verses 6 and 7, how in ancient Israel it was said that a child was to be born, and he did come from the Jewish people, and from ancient Israel. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end. He was coming with government. Christ came preaching the gospel of the government, the kingdom of God, God's kingdom, God's government, and telling people to repent. And it is a way of life. You repent of sin, and sin is a transgression of God's law, the spiritual law. Now, Christ came to pay the penalty of that sin. But we have to repent, and we have to turn from it and begin to accept the way of God according to God's law and God's way of life if we're going to have any kind of immortal life or receive His Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus came teaching, as we notice, for example, in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and in verse 2. Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Jesus said that the saints are going to judge the world. Daniel's prophecy showed that the kingdom will be given to the saints of the Most High. In Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, Jesus said, he that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and now am set down to my Father on his throne in heaven. Jesus is coming to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem, Palestine, on this earth, and to rule over all the nations of this earth. Then again, he said, he that overcometh will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And we find that the saints are going to judge the world. The saints are even going to judge angels, and people have been called to that very purpose. We're called to come into the knowledge of God and the law of God and the way of God. For example, now we will read in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and just the last two verses, 18th verse, or the last verse. But grow, this is what saints are to do, what the people in the church are to do, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, that isn't taught today. People don't believe they need to grow in spiritual knowledge. The Bible is the textbook of spiritual knowledge, and it's filled with knowledge. But it's knowledge you can't understand when you read it unless the Spirit of God is in your mind and heart. And that comes by real repentance. You've got to admit you're wrong, and the hardest thing for any human being to do is to admit he's wrong, and very few will do it. You have to admit you're wrong, and not only that, you have to turn to God's way of life. Now, the second hardest thing to do is to believe God, to believe what He says. So you have to believe what God says. The Bible is what God says. Very few believe the Bible. The Bible shows you the way to live. It is a teaching on the way of living. And if we live that way and we're filled with the Spirit of God, which is the spirit of love and outflowing love. And love is the fulfilling of God's law. God's law is the foundation of His government. The foundation of every government is a law or a constitution. And a law is a way of living. A law is a way that regulates the way you live. Every government has laws, and God has laws that are spiritual laws, and it's a spiritual way of life. It's God's way of life. It's the way that God has lived and that Christ has lived and the way they have lived together from eternity because they are immortal and have always lived. It's the way of cooperation. It is the way of love. All that is wrong in the world today, all that is causing the heartaches, all that is causing these wars is the way people are living today. And God will give us the only kind of love that will fulfill it. Then we shall rule. And God's people are going to be spared from the Holocaust that is coming. They're going to be taken to a place of protection. And they're going to be spared, and God is going to stop it in time. And the world is going to go on, but it'll be a new and a different world, and it'll be a world of peace. And they won't be fighting. They'll beat their swords and the plowshares and their spears and the pruning hooks, and the nation will not learn war anymore. scripture read back in the second chapter of the book of Isaiah. Now, let me once again mention this booklet that I did tell you about, the United States and Britain in prophecy. You need to know where the United States is mentioned in the Bible prophecy. Have you ever seen it? I'm sure you haven't. If you haven't read this booklet, you don't know. And yet this country is mentioned. How could other countries be mentioned that are mentioned in the Bible? And a great country like the United States, or like Britain and the British Empire at times, was the greatest empire that had ever ruled on the face of the earth. Their empire is gone now, and it's going to go further, and the same thing is going... Well, if you want to know what's going to happen to the United States, you need to read this book. It tells you what is prophesied to happen to the United States. You need to know, and this is this country. It's mentioned, and you will know what is going to happen. Now, write in also for a special booklet, What is the True Gospel? That gospel was suppressed. The world has heard a gospel about Christ, but they haven't heard the gospel, which is the message he preached, which is a gospel about government and a gospel about living and how you live and turning from the wrong way of living to the right way of living. And as long as people say that that spiritual law of God is done away and that you're not under law but under grace, which is the great teaching today, you're still going to have trouble in this world. That's why we have the troubles we do in the world. Christ is coming to end all of that. You need to know this book of what is the true gospel. It has been hid from the world for 1900 years. Now, once again, you get a year's subscription to the Plain Truth magazine. It's one of the world's great mass circulation magazines now. Over 5.5 million copies every month going out. Most of them to subscribers. Some of it is newsstand circulation. And you have a year's subscription and no subscription price. Now, all you do is just send your request to me, Herbert W. Armstrong, at Pasadena, California. Herbert W. Armstrong, Pasadena, California, 91123. Or you can just go to the telephone. That's quicker than writing. And it's a free call. You call toll-free 800. Dial 1-800-423-4444. It's a free call. 800-423-4444. Now, that's outside of California, Alaska, and Hawaii. Now, in California, Hawaii, and Alaska, you call collect. Call collect area code 213. We'll pay for the call. 304-6111. Now, that's area code 213-304-6111. And if the lines are busy, keep trying, because we have dozens of scores of people there to take your call, but calls are coming in fast. So call and keep calling until you get through. So until next time, Herbert W. Armstrong, goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow with Herbert W. Armstrong, sponsored by the Worldwide Church of God. For literature offered on this program, dial this toll-free number, 800-423-4444. That's 800-423-4444. If the lines are busy, please call again. Or you may send your request along with the call letters of this station to Herbert W. Armstrong, Pasadena, California, 91123. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Pasadena, California, 91123.